I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 4. Let's go ahead and start the first part. We're going to work our way down towards the latter part, but I'm going to start the first part, and the Lord may stop me to make some comments. Let us therefore fear, lest, a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was not first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, it limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, before we think and even ponder on verse 12, I want to go back prior to that. Now, let's talk about the Word of God a moment. The Bible said he's afraid of you that esteem one day greater than another. You've heard me minister on that. Now, the thing is we get into the religious realms, and they esteem some Sunday, some Saturday, and they'll hold you to a law and really crucify you if you don't hold that day. Are you in agreement with that? Yes, I am. Why are you in agreement with it, Brother Rom? Because if it's the appearance of evil, because if it offends them, and we offend them by not doing that, then we're in error. But are we in error because we didn't esteem this day greater than another? No. They're in error because they esteem that day greater than another day. They're the ones that the Lord said he's afraid of them. But then yet, if we don't uphold that day, then we find the judgments of God on us and the chastening, not because we didn't keep that day, it's because that we've offended another. You understand what I'm saying? This is, again, another example of an uncertain sound right here. Now, the thing is there's people that would say rest on Saturday or Sunday, whichever day they choose, and you say they've entered into the rest. They don't labor and don't work, and they've never seen the rest. And they would look at you because you don't esteem maybe that day greater in their eyes, and they would look at you that you never entered into the rest, and you've truly entered into the rest. Don't you remember when the Lord Jesus walked that they brought him under the law and saw oftentimes about not washing the hands? And he said, it's not what defile a man goes in, what comes out. But they warred with that. They found fault because on the Sabbath day they picked something and they found fault with them. And he explained very clearly to them. But does that give us the right, brothers and sisters? Because Jesus did it in offending them. We could do it and offend them. There's a balance there. The Lord was showing us a mind, and we're commanded, brothers and sisters, to abstain from the appearance of evil. We're commanded not to put a millstone around our neck because if we offend them. So we got to be very careful. There's some fine lines that lay within this. So let's talk about this in the corruptible. What if we keep the day? What if we say, hey, we're going to keep the day? We're going to receive a corruptible crown. Well, I'm not going to work on Saturdays. That's the Sabbath. Well, the church world says, no, Sunday is the day of rest, the Sabbath. Well, which one do you think it is, Brother Rob? Is it Saturday or Sunday? And I say, both. But what about in their mind? And I say, well, in the church world, I can understand that they're commanded to give the first fruit unto the Lord, so they give the first day of the week. I agree with that. Now, see, the Jews did it differently. They gave the end of the matter, the last day. You know, Saturday's the last day. Sunday's the first. We give the first. I think it's a wonderful thing. And we need to try to honor the Lord, brothers and sisters. We could be out on job, say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. I know Brother Rob's teaching. There's nothing wrong with me working on Sunday. Well, there is something wrong if it's offending the man that you're working for out there, and it's causing a problem, and it's zipping your mouth shut because he says that. There's people I deal with, brothers and sisters, will put me in hell if they see me working on Sunday. And it would zip my mouth, saying, this guy's lost. I can't hear him, so I just shut the mouth of the Lord up, even though I did nothing wrong. The only thing I did wrong is I would have offended the Lord by not abstaining from what they call evil. Again, as we use the scriptures about meat ever so often. Now, not eating meat. And we have cookouts around this church, man. We let you cook up all that meat and stuff, man. Praise God. Well, what if somebody come along and offend him? I guess we'd have to eat a vegetarian meal that day. I don't like vegetarian meals. I honestly don't. Meat's for the strong. Well, they're just showing that they're weak. Get into all the cults. All the Eastern things are vegetarians. You go to the health food stores, man, they're going to try to get you to be a vegetarian. I'm not in agreement with it at all. But then yet there's moderation, brothers and sisters. Uncertain sound goes forth in everything, and we've got to learn to look and to understand and comprehend. Before we go on, let's maybe use this for help even answer some of the questions. Can you see the questions that we're asked tonight and what we've read so far? Can you see it? When we think of, there's an uncertain sound that goes forth. You know, if we're commanded to keep a Sabbath, then we say, if we were natural of mind, we'd say, hey, man, we'd keep Saturday. Or no, let you choose whatever day you want. If I was going to have to choose a day, I'd choose Sunday because I give him the first. You know, the Bible says give him the first fruits. I give him the first day of my week. Okay, so that's what I would choose if we were looking in that dimension. But they said Saturday, that's the Sabbath day. And they chose to do that, fine, I got no quarrel with that. But they keep that day. But have they entered into the rest? No, they haven't entered into the rest. Well, can you enter into the rest without keeping those days? Yes, you can. But when you've entered in that rest, you'll keep those days for those that cannot see the day that you keep, because it's the invisible day, and they cannot see the invisible day. So you keep the visible one of the corruptible that they can see the incorruptible. Does that make sense? Let me say this. I got to stop here. The things of God are not complicated. Now, if I was going to come here tonight and I had somebody that was just needing to be born again, needing to know about Jesus, they could listen and say, man, what a waste of time. Go sit in that church. I heard some of the most ignorant stuff. None of it makes sense. It won't make sense to the worldly mind. The things that we speak about, man, it is absolutely foolishness. Ignorance. So I'd have to watch, be careful in discernment. And sometimes you leave the 99, go after the one. You preach simple salvation. Talk about the Lord Jesus and Him crucified. You talk about what He's done, and you're trying to win that soul. But brothers and sisters, we have time for all things. And what we're doing is we're going into differentiation, that we could be better grounded in the Word and differentiating the things that are going on around about us. That when we look at the things that are visible, thinking that we're seeing in the invisible realm, there's the uncertain sound that goes forth in the invisible. And then you'll think that you've discerned something invisible, and then you'll walk in a gross error thinking that you have seen something when you didn't see it at all. And I'm going to use dreams here for a second to confirm what I just said, and then we're going to go on. You remember me saying that I was teaching dreams and the interpretations of dreams when I first come up here, and I thought, well, you know, praise God, this is a good thing. And I start watching people learning the formulations of interpretation. And then I start seeing people interpreting these dreams and visions and changing their course, and they weren't following the Spirit. And you've heard me say this many times. We're led by the Spirit. The Spirit's invisible. We're led by the invisible. We're led by the Father. The Father's invisible. No man has seen. And you say, well, how can you be following this Father, the Spirit, if you haven't seen Him? This is why we're led by the invisible. With that thought in mind, that we're led by the invisible, and the invisible appears within the visible, but the uncertain sound lays within the visible. And now we have to discern in the visible realm of what's invisible laying within there. Now let's talk about the invisible again for a second. Is Satan invisible? You say, okay, I got one yes over there. And I say, yay and amen, he is. Okay, he is invisible. Is Jesus invisible? Yay and amen. You say, well, I know he was visible because he was the manifestation of God, the Son of God. And we say, yeah. And I could say, yes, he was. I could say that Jesus was visible. And I could also say he's invisible because he made himself twain. Well, let's talk about the spirits for a minute. Are all of the things of the Spirit of evil and good, are they visible? Now, he said that he made all things visible and all things invisible. All powers, all dominions. He made all visible and invisible. Now, there are invisible principalities and powers of good and evil. So now, if we were going to look at this, we could say that the image of the corruptible is evil. And Jesus came in the image of the corruptible, didn't he? The Bible said he came in the image of sin. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. The image of sin is what? The image of corruption. And Jesus came in the image of corruption. Was he corruption? No. Did God suffer him to see corruption? No. What was incorruption? It was the invisible part that dwelled within. What did he come to show you? The invisible part, but he had to show it to you in the corruptible part. Does that make sense? Now think about it. Isn't this right? Okay, now let's bring that to our own life. The inward quickening of the Spirit of Christ is what? Incorruptible. Your first birth is what? Corruptible. Okay, so you receive to the corruptible rewards and health and strength and happiness and rest and all those things. And you say, man, that is beautiful. What is that showing? Well, it's showing the invisible. But there's an uncertain sound there. Okay, let's talk about a king. He's got a palace. He's got servants. He's got fan wavers, grape feeders. Man, I'll tell you what, he's got it. Man, don't he? Man, this looks good. Oh, yeah, it looks good. But what's on the invisible? Nothing. He's got everything that would appear to what we're speaking about, the invisible things that we'd have with Christ, him being our king. So we say corruptible crowns and incorruptible crowns. So if I see a corruptible crown, does it reflect the incorruptible or the invisible? And I say, yes, it does. Does it always? No. That made it simple, didn't it? That helps, doesn't it? It doesn't. wasn't always. And this is where the uncertain sound goes forth. Two things could show what would look good, and one would be imputed as sin in the other one. Blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. Two men doing the same identical thing. How many times you heard me say this? Doing the same identical thing. One sin's imputed, put in the lake of fire, and the other one's sin's not imputed. And it said it makes God a respecter of person. And the Bible said he's no respecter of person. I say yea and amen. All persons have their same part of corrupting. But there's something that dwells within that person or personification, and it's the Spirit. And that's what's made known and made manifest that we could see and comprehend. I want to go back and read verse 12 over again, okay? It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. The dividing asunder of what? The soul and the spirit of what? The soul and the spirit, I say, dividing asunder the what? The corruptible and the incorruptible? Could it be? But the soul realm doesn't always have to represent the corruptible, because the bodily realm would show up. But what did I tell you shows up both in the soul realm? Both the corruptible and the incorruptible. Having to do with one being the third, one being the first. And within the second, one condescended down and one was caught up. You remember that? One's caught up, another one condescends down. So we have both dimensions there, and we have to be careful when we read it, how we understand it. For the word of God is quick, verse 12. What does quick have to do with? The Spirit has to do with the quickening. You know, you think, Kung Fu guy, he's quick. No, that's not quick. The quickening has to do with Spirit, which does not have nothing to do with that, something that's fast. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Is it a two-edged sword, or is it sharper than a two-edged sword? Okay. Piercing, even and the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. You remember the teaching we did on soul and spirit? Took much time. It's been years ago. I expound on it oftentimes. A lot of time I took in teaching the difference between the soul and the spirit. Even though theology and all the Bible scholars and professors, they say there's no difference between the soul and the spirit. They teach that in the Bible colleges today. And I say, boy, there's as much difference as there is between the East and the West. But then yet it takes a two-edged sword to divide it. So where is it so far apart? In the spirit, when you look at it in one dimension, in another, you can't tell them apart. You see what I'm saying? And maybe we'll comment on that, but let's finish reading here. Sometimes you hear things and you don't perceive. They said sometimes you hear things in the perspective, but it doesn't bring fruit here. But there's a fruit going in your heart if you're listening with sincerity in your heart, saying, God, I want to know, I want to understand, I want to comprehend. God, I have a hunger and thirst for your word. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never leave you. You might leave a service like this feeling fruitless right here, but you go in God and trust in the Lord. And what he'll do, you'll find him speaking to you over in the mornings. He'll be speaking to you, and all of a sudden these things will start coming to an unveiling. The first message I heard Brother Pike preach, I sat there, man, my spirit was leaping, son. I'm telling you what, it was leaping for joy. Man, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been longing for. This is what I've been wanting. Man, I've been, famished. And man, I'm full. My mind right here was fruitless. I think, my God, what kind of service did I just sit through? This is the natural mind thinking, what is this? But this other one was leaping for joy, and the other one felt left out. You know why he had to be left out? Because he had to die and starve. But one come alive, and then one day that understanding came with it. And I started being able to go beyond for the nourishment beyond the veil, and had to bring it in the veil that others could eat upon it. The fruit comes from the root, the invisible, and it's got to come to the visible that others could eat of it. What good are these things to you unless others could eat of it? If they can't eat of it, it ain't a life to nobody. If you ain't giving life to somebody, then it's not of God. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let's talk about the thoughts and the intents of the heart a minute. They're close. But discernment will put them asunder. And if we could come to a revelation tonight of the difference between thoughts and the intents of a heart, it would open up many doors for us. And understanding, when I say open doors, it's going to open up doors, it's going to open up understanding, and it'll bring revelation. I mean multiplied revelation. And this is the thing that keeps many people from truly coming to revelation. And if the Lord will help me expound on the difference, it'll help you understand. You see, brothers and sisters, when we see an action in someone's life, an action is something that's visible that came from something that is invisible. An action is something that you see that's visible, but something that was invisible prompt the action. Tell me what that was. Thought. Brother Pike said, you sum it all up in a nutshell. What did he say? It's a state of mind. And what he said? Say a state of thought. And if we're going to talk about thoughts for a moment, and God knows we've done a lot of teaching on thoughts in this church, and it's because we were dealing with things. We're fine-tuning now, brothers and sisters. Let me read this again. I'll pull the thoughts back in together, and I'm going to expound on this some. And is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, if we could read the difference between these two. Now, I made a statement. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The mouth is something audible. Audible and visible run in the same dimension. Audible and visible. And out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the invisible, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the invisible, there's an action. An action is visible. The thought is invisible, but there had to be a thought to make the action. Now, this is where there's going to be a problem. If the action is clean and pure, is that action from a clean and pure heart? This is the uncertain sound. No. What is it? It's a lying vanity. You say, well, this makes it very complicated. Like I said, when your church world teaches the difference between the soul and the spirit, they say they're one and the same. There's no difference between the intents of the heart and the heart. There is. There's most definite difference. Let's go on here. Because what you see to vindicate God will vindicate him, but also the same vindication could come and God's nowhere in the midst. What does the Bible call lying signs and wonders and lying miracles? So you say a miracle, Brother Rob, a miracle is an action of something that was invisible. And I say, yes. So if we see a miracle, we know that this invisible God brought forth this miracle of something visible that we could see and comprehend the attributes of this invisible. And I say, yes. So I saw a man healed. That means that this invisible God brought this thing into an action. I say, no, lying signs and wonders. This is why the world follows after the Antichrist, because they're following after a lying sign. A lying sign looks exactly like the true sign. Exactly. What are we talking about? Rain. What are we talking about? Just and unjust. So we're talking about the unjust gets the same sign as the just. To one, it's a lying vanity. To the other one, there's a truth. It seems like the farther to go, the more complicated that I make it. But it's actually very simple. Come in the mind of the revelation and you'll see. And the mind of the Lord. If we're looking for a manifestation of spirits, and the spirit world is invisible. The invisible spirit world, there's action going on there. But it's an action that has to do with that quickening. And that quickening is something that's invisible. But the Bible said, let this spirit be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that will quicken. What? What did it say to quicken? Your mortal bodies. Now think about this. Now listen, brothers and sisters. What is the difference between the quickening of the spirit and the quickening of the mortal body? I'll leave it with you a second. I'm going to let you ponder. Sometimes I go right into things. Doesn't give you a chance to really ponder on something. Think about what I just said. Let's talk about witting the redemption of the body. Okay, if we wit the redemption of the body, the Bible said what? Now we are what? The sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. But what's it going to say? Now we are. But the world what? Does not what? See us as what we already are, right? The world doesn't see us. Why don't they see us? Because they don't have eyes to see into the quickening. The quickening has to do with the invisible realm. We spoke about the quickening quite a bit. Quickening has to do with the spirit world. And he said the same spirit that dwelt in Christ shall quicken your mortal body. The same spirit in him will quicken. And when it quickens us, there's two dimensions. Look at this. What does it do to our mortal body? Our mortal body shows what? Corruption. What happens if it's quickened? What does it show? It shows incorruption, doesn't it? Suffered him not to see corruption. So he took something that was corruption and changed it to what? Incorruption. He said it was buried in corruption and raised in what? What is this talking about? It's a change. So now this change, who will see this change? The whole world will. Is that correct? The Bible said, now ye are the sons of God. They will not see you or know you. But one day when he appears, you shall appear like him and they'll know what? Who you were all the time. Is that correct? I don't think I'm out of perspective here. Most definitely in the word. So I stand before you and say, brothers and sisters, I'm a blood-bought born again child of God. I'm born again. I'm a son of God. Rob Coons no longer lives. Now Christ lives. Life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I cannot die. I cannot sin. I've passed from death unto life. Now you could look at me and say, I don't see it. Why don't you see it? See, you're looking at the visible, trying to comprehend the invisible. But one day it'll be quick and the visible that you will see the invisible, even though we got to make it manifest now. Now who sees it now? The sons of God. Who doesn't see it now? The son of perdition. And who doesn't see it? The ones who don't have eyes to see. What is our purpose and calling in life? To bring what? The invisible things visible. Is that true? Now, here I've spent in a whole service, and I've spent many weeks and months teaching you that you've got to bring the invisible things of Christ, the attributes of God, into a manifestation in your life. And then I say that you do that, and I contribute it over to the works of Satan. Now, you know I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read another scripture here, and I want you to go with me a minute. I want you to turn back over to Galatians 5 with me. We're going to read a very common passage of scripture, and we're going to look at it in a different way. This I say, verse 16, when we walk in the Spirit, invisible, I'll say, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, visible, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if we be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And we go back to the days of rest. It was a day of rest that was under the law. We're not under that day of rest. We're under another day of rest. The people don't see that or understand that of this world, because they ain't come to the world that you live in or walk in. They're walking in a natural world, and we live in an invisible world. We try to bring them to a comprehension of the invisible world, but they don't have eyes to see. Amen? Not having eyes to see. And they'll find fault with us. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, and murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the invisible. Now those things that we spoke of there are visible. They have to do with the visible crown. When you think of a natural child birthed into this world, it has to do with a visible fruit of the womb. But there is an invisible fruit of a womb of the Spirit, which is the born again. One is a corruptible crown, one is an incorruptible. Another explanation of the same thing. Let's read on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, if I go back to 22, and the fruit of the Spirit is what? Incorruptible. But what does the Bible say? That there is no law of faith, hope, and charity. There is no law to that. We wouldn't have a law if it was all faith, hope, and charity. Is that right? Or if we go and talk about love and what love is. But then, yeah, you can have all revelations and all these understand, have not love, it profits you nothing. Understand all mysteries and have not love, it profits you nothing. Now, looking at this again is another example of what we're saying here this evening. We look at two manifestations. So if we say we see the manifestation of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. What is there no law? The law has been laid away and done away with. Jesus Christ taken and fulfilling the law, doing away with it. We're not under the law of judgment of sin and death. Now, if you look at this, brothers and sisters, so if I see joy, and I see peace, and I see long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, according to the scriptures here, then I'm seeing beyond the veil in the goodness of Christ. I hate to say this, and I say yea and amen, but there's an uncertain sound that goes forth. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's the master of deception. How does he deceive you? He's going to bring forth virtuous fruits to think that the root is good, that you partake of the fruit and you get death. If the root's bad, and you partake of it. And it could look like the fruit of the Spirit of God, and it's not. The only way of this is the discerner of not just the thoughts, but the intents of the heart. Those things are close, brothers and sisters. The thoughts could be one thing and the intents another. I'm going to try to sum this up. It's simple in the mind of Revelation. It's complicated in the mind of humanity and man. How many of you know what an antidote is? A medicine. So if you have a sickness, the antidote would be a medicine that you take. There's two antidotes, say. One of them, you take it and it eliminates the problem. The other one looks identically the same. And you take it and it doesn't help the problem and you die. Satan offers an antidote. It looks exactly like the fruit of the Spirit. And he'll deceive you and destroy you and kill you with something that looks good. And that's why we have to have discernment. You say, well, this is frightening, Brother Rob, because you teach us and you spend all this time to teach us what to look for Revelation. And the reason I'm teaching these things, because some of you have walked in gross error because you looked at some things as revelation and the revealing of Christ wasn't there. And it was a lying vanity of something that appeared to look righteous or virtuous, and you went into deception and it looked good. I'm going to unveil something here because this this has nothing to do with any personalities that any of you know. And this will be a manifestation of something I'm speaking about, and we will go on beyond that. A minister come to church. Come in, come on the platform. We're praising the Lord, having a good time. Everybody's having a good time. We feel the Spirit of God. Boy, everything's great. Praise the Lord. Brother sang with an anointing. Praise God, Spirit of the Lord. I feel the Spirit of God. The brother prophesies. Hallelujah, I feel the Spirit of God. The brother then, he looked and appeared to have everything virtuous and righteous and godly and holy. And then beyond the veil came death to kill. What did Satan come to do? To kill, to steal, and destroy. I'm going to use a couple personalities here. But this man that prophesied that I was a man of God and that you were blessed people turned around and said I was of the devil, and Brother Pike was of the devil, and he was trying to kill this sister right here in the front row. She got caught up in the hoop of deception. Her husband got called up in it. Her husband calls to reprove me on the phone. And I said one thing. I said, brother, only thing you need to do is figure out who your pastor is. I hung up the phone. That's all I did. Now let's say something in this. If sometimes we think we hear and we don't, and there was a snare of death laying right in there, there was an uncertain sound that looked virtuous and righteous and holy, prophesied, the pastor letting me get behind the sacred death, and he sang and ministered, prophesied, prayed for people, and done all this, but then all of a sudden there's a death laying there. Are we starting to differentiate this now? So then we're taught the invisible things of God, of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, temperance, and all of these things are revealed in what we see, and they are in the sons of God. And they will be there, and they will always be there in a son of God. And the thing is, of the corruption of the flesh, it always lays there within the flesh. But if you would mortify it and bring forth the other visible in the invisible, visible in it, then you're redeeming something. When was it redeemed? By the works of Christ at Calvary. It is the purchased possession, was purchased by Him and redeemed by Him. But we have a work in the second to redeem it, to make the calling and election sure. If I'm going to sum all this up, there is a lying vanity that will take your soul. And it's a religious disguise. They could appear so godly, so righteous, so virtuous, so holy, but they're full of wickedness. The Bible said, whitewashed sepulchers. They look good on the outside, but they're full of dead men bones. They look good in some of the actions that they do, but there's corruption laying there within. This is why the Bible says it's ye that endure till the end. Because you could say, well, I could tell they're a child of God because I see this fruit. If you see the fruit and the endurance of the fruit to the end, they're a child of God. But the fruit that looks like a child of God, there's a deception that lays there within that. And sometimes you will hook up with something by what you see or hear, and there's deception laying in what you see and hear. You will see the invisible thing that there's no deception in with what you see and hear. But the deception also comes in what you see and hear. So you cannot always, even though man don't believe this, they say, I only believe what I see. See, there's a lying vanity in that. Because you say, I only believe what I see. I was talking with the kids today, and I've heard this, and you say, are you in agreement with it? Depends on what we look at. They say, if it looks like a skunk, if it smells like a skunk, and it walks like a skunk, they said it is a skunk. Are you in agreement with that? If I was standing in the Virginia mountains and it looked like a skunk and smelled like a skunk, well, I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. I know it is a skunk. But now we're in another dimension. If it looks like a god, talks like a god, sounds like a god, must mean it is a god. Satan is the god of this world, and he is going to look and appear, and he's going to show himself. The Bible said that there's many antichrist among us. The context of what I'm teaching here, you say, are you trying to put fear in us? Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love bringeth forth discernment. You say, well, what if I see something that looks good in you? I say, contribute it to Christ. What if I see something that looks good in somebody else? I say, contribute it to Christ, and Christ will come and make himself known. If it's of God, what does the Bible say? One thing we could say is it'll endure. But if it comes to naught, what do we say? It's not of God. So sometimes we look at fruit and say it's of God, and if it's in the root, it'll abide in the fruit. But when winter time comes, if the fruit dies on the vine, it's not of God. Now listen to this. I like that. That helps sum all this up. I see fruit on a tree and say, praise God, I see fruit. I like this. Man, I see two trees and I see fruit. It looks just the same. Matter of fact, this tree's got a little bigger fruit than that tree. But wintertime comes and this tree with the big fruit, it withers and dies and the other one remaineth. Which one is of the invisible? Which one is of God, brothers and sisters? The Bible says this. Think about it. It says when we speak what? About the fruit? Come on, we're talking about winter. We're talking about things. It says that we in the spirit are what? Instant, in season, out of season. When things are going right, when things are going good, when things are going well, we say, man, look at the fruit of God. Blessings, prosperity, health, and all of these things. But what happens when things are going bad? Wintertime is the fruit there. If it changes the appearance of the fruit, it ain't of God. Does that make sense? If we find in the winter no fruit, and sometimes we get angry with God. Well, God, you're a God of the Spirit. We know that in the millennium and in the Spirit, there's no winter. Say yea and amen. You're coming to Revelation. There's no winter. But in this dimension, there's a winter, isn't there? But does the winter affect the invisible or the inner quickening? No. And if the winter doesn't affect the inner quickening, that means that the inner quickening is going to produce after its kind, fruit after its kind. But if the winter affects it and it doesn't bring fruit, that means that the fruit that you saw in the summer was what? A lying vanity. Are we clarifying some things? Are you staying with me a little bit? I pray and hope so, because I'm trying to. And you say, well, Brother Rob, it's simple. I never said it was complicated, but brothers and sisters, this right here is where more people get deceived and find themselves in a snare than anywhere else of anything that I would know to teach. And there's a frightening thing laying within the veil of what I'm teaching, because it could make you. Brother Pike said, I taught you to hold your spirit and guard after your spirit. And then he rebuked us for doing it. And you think, well, why? Because there's a time we have to let our spirit out. If we don't let our spirit out, there'll be no production, because there has to be an intermingling in the spirit to reproduce. You see, if you teach your little girls to be virtuous and righteous, and you can keep them virtuous and righteous without letting them out, but there's a time they have to be let out and still keep virtue and righteous. But on the other hand, if you don't ever let them out, even in the marriage bed, it's undefiled in all of its ways, there wouldn't be no reproduction of life. So there has to go that way. And if you teach them virtue and righteousness and they abstain it from their husband, there's no reproduction of life. So there's a proper time with the spouse, and there's another proper time to keep it. And this is why I said what he said. See, he taught us to keep our spirits. Sometimes when other ministers would come and stuff, we should keep our spirits and not let them out, because their spirit would defile and bring forth another fruit. And then you'd see people let their spirit out, and there was an intermingling with familiar, unclean spirits. And then others were on guard so much, they would never let their spirit out. When the spirit of Christ was there that brings forth reproduction, they would be holding their spirit back, and they found themselves being rebuked because they were holding their spirit back. You remember I shared the thing that happened when I was preaching in the radio station down in Lexington? Well, the Bible said to despise not prophecy. Doesn't it say that? And I'm going to testify to you. I despise prophecy. Oh man, you're supposed to be a pastor. You're supposed to be a man of God. And you're sitting here testifying to these people that you despise prophecy? Yes, I'm testifying to you that Brother Rob, as a pastor of Christian Temple Church, despised prophecy. And I got rebuked of the Lord. You know why I despised it? Because I saw so much evil. And I learned to lock my spirit. Man, I seen so much prophecies like that caused this sister to go in deception. I saw so much of that I locked my spirit, that it would not get to me, would not penetrate me, and would not harm me. But then when the genuine spirit of prophecy from God would come, I would be locked up. And I wouldn't be eating when I locked up. I'll give you one more example. I got poisoned by food one time. Man, I ate it, and it looked good, it smelled good, it tasted good, and it poisoned me. I'm not eating no more food. Here's some good food. Buddy, you're withering up. You're going to blow away. You're going to die. You need to eat. I ain't touching it. And I would reject something good because of one time I got poisoned. But numerous times I was poisoned by prophecy from a corruptible crown. They prophesy after the flesh. The corruptible crown. It sounds like God. It testifies of God. It smells like God. It looks like God. But it wasn't God. So I come out of the radio station. And a man says, Brother, I got a word from the Lord for you. Man, I mean to tell you. If you could have saw in the spirit, I come out kind of relaxed. You know, hey, praise God. And all of a sudden, man, I had two of the biggest swords. And I had them things crossed up, son. And man, I was ready to slay. He says, I got a word of the Lord for you. He said to Brother Frank Brett, and I listened. I said, you know what? This ain't the Lord. And I listened. Now, boy, it really got me in a tight hold. And I kept listening, and I heard the Lord. Well, can evil and good come from the same well? Can bitter and sweet water? Depends what dimension you're in. If you're in the spirit, there is no bitterness in that well. If you're in the spirit, there's no lukewarm, you know, and there's no cold. But there's a place where it's lukewarm. It's where it's spewed out of the mouth of God. And in the soul realm, there is both. And I heard the Lord speak to the man, and then I heard the devil speak to the one and the same man. So I have still locked up tight, and then he went over and prophesied over the other. And I heard the Lord, and the Lord rebuked me as the man was speaking about despising prophecy. I don't want to miss God. But here I was, thinking I was protecting myself, and I was pushing God out of my life. And then another time I'm opening up, and I see the devil there. So yes, what do? You learn that there's a time to open up and there's a time to close up. That's why we walk in the Spirit. And the Lord reproved me. And he showed me. And then the spirit of prophecy came on me. And I prophesied over the man. And I rebuked the man in the spirit of prophecy. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to say something about prophecy to help some of you out. There's a church world full of prophets right now. You turn on your television, you go down in town, you see prophet such and such, prophet this and prophet that, and this and that. You say, how will we know if they're of God? Brother Rob, prophets don't tickle ears. Now I want you to listen to the prophecies. There's exhortation, edification, and comfort. You know it's the spirit of prophecy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. What's edification? Teaching. What's exhortation? Reproving and rebuking. What's comfort? It comes from those two. I could take you to some scriptures to show you that. But the prophets that are going forth today is like the prophecy where the man said, this is a man of God. He was talking to you people. He says, you people are blessed people, thus saith the Lord. This is what the man said. He said, y'all have a man that's sin of God here. You are blessed. You remember that. Boy, it would be nice and easy for him to say, man, that was of God. Wouldn't that have been a good thing for me to jump on board? But it wasn't of God. It was of the corruptible flesh, and he was speaking things that sounded like it was from God. Now, God could have said that in a truth. And what he said was a truth in what? In deception. He spoke a truth in a deception. She fell for the deception. Spoke a truth in a deception. And the deception was to get somebody to look at, hey, I'm a prophet. I'm a man of God. I spoke God's word. She saw truth. And then the snare came and the lie came. Amen. What am I saying? It all works together for the good of them who love the Lord. Does this help a little bit? To make sense of what we're speaking about. Now the thing is there's a truth and there's a deception. And there's a truth that's veiled and a deception veiled in truth. And this is what we're learning tonight of how to discern and how to walk. I say be careful. Be careful what you think you see. The Bible said you think that you know something and what? You know nothing whatsoever at all. That's what the Bible says. Believe me, Brother Rob has been guilty of that not once, not twice. Not five times. Brothers and sisters, it's so innumerable I couldn't count it. But God's been merciful to Brother Rob. And he's helped me. And he led me and he guided me out of it. Yes, I've erred, but I don't have a spirit of error. Yes, I've been deceived, but I don't have a spirit of deception. You could say, man, I've never been deceived. And I say, you're a liar and there's no truth in you. And I could remember, I could show you where you've been deceived. Each and every brother in this church. And I have some still walking in deception and think they're looking at light and they're looking in darkness. Remember, there's a lesser light that's veiled within the darkness. There's a true light that's veiled within the darkness. If I had to say anything tonight, I'm trying to teach you. This is a beautiful foundation, brothers and sisters, to go into some awesome revelation. This is revelation, but there's some beautiful foundation that if we perceive what we have tonight, that we could go into some things and this will help us to walk in clarity and unity. And where the Bible says we don't pierce each other through, nor we don't break ranks. And it brings a perfect unity. Have you ever seen a military march where they're just walking in perfect unison and every step, and it's a beautiful thing. Well, this is what the saints of God look like. But when the deceiver could come in and fuddle up or cross up some thoughts, we'll find one in and out of perspective. A man came to Brother Pike one time and he said, Brother George, I had a vision of little Rob, talking about my son. And he said, I saw the brotherhood and they're walking along, man, and it was like in a real nice unity. And I saw this, and I'm sitting there listening to this. Little Rob wasn't there. He said, I seen little Rob way off ahead of the brother and out of stride, going along. Brother George listening. I was listening. Brother George never commented. I did. I said, Brother George, that wasn't little Rob. That was me that the Lord was showing him. Brother George smiled and he said, that's right, Brother Rob. See, sometimes there's an uncertain sound that goes forth even in visions where somebody would have turned their eyes over to look at the fall of my son when it was showing dad. Sometimes there's things that lay in uncertainties, brothers and sisters, and we need to be sensitive. It would have been real easy for me to say, oh yeah, that wretched kid. Man, everybody could see that. It would have been real easy for me to say, oh yeah, pray for that boy. But no, through humility, the Spirit of God, I spoke up and said, that wasn't him, it was me. Now what are you doing? Testifying about yourself? Well, no, I'm testifying Christ because a man won't do that. A man will always want to protect himself and make himself look good and make the others look bad. So it had to be Christ. Can you do that? When God's trying to speak to you, and let me tell you now, this is what normally how we interpret things. We make it the other man's fault, the other man's problem, and you wouldn't have done this except it was the other guy's problem, the other guy's fault. But remember this, and I will say thus saith the Lord. The Lord sent the other man every single time. I don't care how evil, how wicked, how wretched, how ungodly, God sent him every single time. time. He sent every situation in your life. He put it before you. Every evil, every wickedness, every terrible, stinking, smelling, rotten thing, He put it there for you and for your good. And if you will judge it by His mind and His thoughts and His understanding, you'll see that He done it because He loves you, and He is going to mold you and perfect you. And when you think about pure gold, you're going to go through the fire. Why? To get the dross out. Now, everybody's going to go through the fire. Some are going to go and be consumed of the fire, and others are going to get the dross out. Bear it. Learn how to take the fire, brothers and sisters, when it comes. Don't run from it. He didn't lead them around it. He led them through it. Many times in our Christian walk, we're looking for the way to go around. We're looking for a way to go around tribulation. We go through tribulation. Are you saying that the church goes through tribulation? I'm most definitely telling you, thus saith the Lord, the church goes through tribulation. Are you talking then, Brother Rob, that when Jesus Christ and the tribulation has come on them, that the elect of God is going to be there? I say, yes, the Bible said elect there. That tribulation is for the natural elect. I'm a spiritual elect, and I've already been through the tribulation. Some of it rolled down the road the other day. Some of it was when you pierced me and nailed me to a cross. Some of it when I was a little Bethlehem. Some of it was when I was in California. But I've been through tribulation, brothers and sisters. God knows, hallelujah, and He's given me the spirit of power, and I've stood, and I've come out as more than a conqueror. Amen. What about you? So there's a lot of ways to discern and differentiate these things. Let's stand together, brothers and sisters. I pray and hope that we can find the mind of God, the mind of the Spirit, the mind of revelation, and understand it. Don't be troubled tonight, because I know many left the other night. Some were thinking they understood and they did. Some think they did and they got more than some of the others. But all in all, we've done well. All in all, we've done well tonight. Don't discount yourself. Don't get too puffed up, and don't kill yourself out on the other hand. Pray and say, God, grant unto me the spirit of revelation. How many of you received this evening? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. How many of you didn't? Can I hear an oh me? Well, did you receive, Brother Rob? Oh me. Did you receive, Brother Rob? Amen. Which one's oh me? And the old flesh hopefully is oh me, and it's the fruitless one. Amen. And the Spirit say, hallelujah. I said on the oh me pew and the amen pew. Which one was it? Depend on how I was receiving. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you and appreciate you. I appreciate you. Pray for me, brothers and sisters. Let's sing another song or two, and we'll close the service. Brother Dale used to cut big trees down. I walked out in the woods with him in California. We walked up to a tree that was as wide as this sacred desk right here. He looked it over and sized it up. I'm thinking, hey, let's cut it down. I was a novice. I wasn't a lumberjack. And I said, this is the tree got cut down? I'm sized up, so get that big saw out, let's stick it to it. But he didn't do that. He looked off down the trail. He looked off out through there. And he took his saw. And he went out there and he started dropping trees. Trees about this big around, maybe this big around. And he started lacing them all down through there, dropping all these trees. I'm like, what's he doing? I was looking at this big tree thinking, you know, this is what we came here for, to cut this big tree down. He showed it to me. It was marked. It was labeled. This is what we're here after. But he took, I'm going to say, into an hour or more, dropping all these trees down through there. And then he went back to the big tree. And he cut this big tree down, and he dropped it right upon those little trees. And he said if he wouldn't have done that, wouldn't that big tree, which was the money, it was the thing to bring forth the income and the finances. He said, if I would have dropped this thing on the ground when it hit, being over 200 feet tall, when it hit that ground, it would have busted to pieces. And it would have busted up. And he wouldn't have got what he came there for, and it was the money. So he had to go through all this preliminary to drop that big tree. And I'll tell you that tonight, brothers and sisters, you may not see the tree, the big tree falls, but there's preliminaries that are laid out before you that you could comprehend and understand what the fall truly is. So hold on, pray, keep the faith, examine yourself, and see that you be in the faith. Amen. Let's sing together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes we're looking for something. We don't see what we think we want to see. But it's on the way. Daniel prayed. He was looking for the fruit of his prayer, and he saw adversity. But 21 days later, He saw the Lord. Amen. Hang on. Pray and trust. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him, saints. He's given you everything. Do you understand? I say you understand because He's given you the spirit of revelation and the spirit of understanding. The Bible said the wicked don't understand. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I feel like I don't understand. Kill that part out and speak life and say, I perceive, I comprehend, and I understand by faith in the name of the Lord. And I speak life and hope. Amen. It's there. It's laying beyond the veil, and let it grow and bring forth fruit. If you love your wife, your children, your grandchildren more than you do Him, you're not worthy of Him. That's a hard one, I know. But when you find Him, you'll really recognize what love is. And you thought you loved your family, and you never really loved them until you found His love. Thank you, Jesus. Let Him minister to your hearts. Praise Him, worship Him, love Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Let Him minister to you. He's speaking to you. He's loving you. He's helping you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As we sing, I praise Him. Let's close our eyes. He loves you, brothers and sisters. He's held nothing back from you. You're the apple of His eye. He's given you everything. Let's worship Him, praise Him, exalt Him. As little Stan comes up to dismiss our service, let's just praise Him and let Him know how much we love Him and how thankful we truly are that He's given us life.